The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and let's go back to New Jersey and find out if Andy Goss is dried out. No, that has an alcohol connotation. If he's no longer wet from the rain or freezing from the snow and he's got power back on. This guy has been through a lot, as have millions of people back there. Andy, are you all right? How are you?
Doing fine, Jeff. How about yourself?
Well, I've nothing to complain about. I mean, you've been through a lot of stuff there. This has been wild. First it was Hurricane Sandy, and then it was the nor'easter, which I guess has gone through there last night pretty well.
Inches of snow.
Yeah. And then it was the so-called election, which is probably just as disgusting, but on a different level.
If not election, more. Yeah,
the so-called selection. Which is what it was. And anyway, let's start out with Hurricane Sandy. What happened?
Well, goodness. Haven't had anything like this on the Jersey Shore for 75 or 80 years.
It made a left turn and came right. It made a left turn and came right in.
It did indeed, yeah. And the impact was just devastating. Something that these people here just weren't quite ready for. And so the result was anarchy, chaos. If you've ever wondered what it's like, people pushing each other and cutting in front of lines and stealing, it was just, it's disgusting. And the politicians and the leaders who commandeered both taxpayer resources and private resources, like they took over gas stations and said, okay, this gas station is just for our cars and naturally their friends and family's cars. And we had politicians taking, generators, backup borough town generators, and taking them to their house and using them for private use.
So it was just, pretty despicable.
It was that sort of despicable behavior. And then, town next door, the mayor decides that he's going to go and order the gas stations in his town to only sell gas to the residents of that town. The sort of blatant discrimination that I suppose would have gotten them put in jail just a month before.
They didn't declare
that sort of behavior.
They never declared martial law. Not formally, but there were a lot of things going on there that obviously demonstrated how many humans, unfortunately, have a very low common denominator. Thin thread that holds people together in a cohesive, at least it's what appears to be a cohesive society, can be snapped very quickly, and they revert to extremely animalistic and lawless behavior, which you're alluding to already, and you didn't see it all, you saw a little bit. This is what we've been saying for years. If you're not prepared, it can all fall apart in a matter of hours. People turn into gangs, killers, robbing, raping, looting, stealing, anything's possible. Now, if this lesson isn't enough for you folks to do something to prepare for something like this, it could be anything. There could be so many possible catastrophes happen here. Nothing will help you. This should do it. Tell us a little bit more about this psychology of people really regressing very quickly to a very lawless state.
Oh, indeed, yeah. The lines for everything. Well, naturally, we live in an area where people are used to having today's groceries and going to the store for week. You and I have discussed this before.
Just-in-time shopping.
Right. And so when the just-in-time store has no power and can't sell anything, and that was the other thing now, cash was king, baby. If you had, of course, we were using silver coins to barter for our stuff, and as a result, we had no trouble getting anything we needed. Silver bought everything, batteries, gas, even with the odd and even restrictions. Because the individual station owners knew that no matter what happened after the dust settled, that, you know, that silver was going to buy the same amount of gas that it did before it started. So we already had developed barter relationships, and of course, I had been fully prepared. We had three backup generators. I had 20 gallons of gas stored, boxes and boxes of all sorts of flashlights, batteries, everything we might possibly need, in addition to the armory. And naturally, we had to guard our facilities and prevent, because that's essentially what it was. There were no police.
Uh-huh.
There were no fire.
Yeah.
There was no EMS. There was no one to call. There were no phones. The cell phones didn't work. The regular landlines didn't work. We had one lowly emergency backup copper line, which was the only functioning phone line for 15 square miles. And it was only because we kept it to run a single circuit to. So it was quite a scene.
You had the only phone line for 15 miles that worked?
Yeah, it was an old copper phone line.
I understand. No fiber optics, no digital, none of that.
No,
okay.
Yeah, none of that. When all of that wave came through with the Fios and the fiber and everything, we said, yeah, we'll take that, but leave our copper line alone.
I just
want this one lonely copper line, hooked it up to our phantom power, and we were good to go. So I had outside communication after the first day.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we had to find that line, what it did is it highlighted for us what we weren't prepared for, and it highlighted for everybody else how inefficient government is. And the lawlessness that I saw was more that mob behavior, you know, who banded together and stuck together. Politicians, elected officials, borough employees, public employees, you know, they all knew when the gas stations were going to open and where the police were going to be assigned. And so they always got first in line for everything that came through. And as the relief supplies came through, naturally, you know, they get first pick and then everything else filters down. It was blatant, and it was the first time that people in New Jersey have had to witness this. So in addition to the regular roving gangs, you had the uniformed roving gangs.
And thank God, no wholesale killings and rapes and beatings broke out. But that was just around
plenty
the corner.
Of looting.
Yeah.
Plenty of looting.
Well, looting is a horrible offense. A few more days of chaos, or had things been even worse, we could have started, I guess, having shootings, killings.
Sure.
Robberies. Yep. I mean, let's go get...
Over 5 gallons of gas.
Exactly. And God help anybody if people knew that they had a stash of gold coins or silver coins, as you've alluded to, you had to literally guard your stuff.
Yes.
Wow. Did you pull in any extra help?
Well, we, you know, as a company, we all know how to do double duty. So, you know, everyone knows what to do.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, there were no supermarkets broken into that I heard about. That was close, though. The first thing that goes when the power goes, supermarkets can't sell anything. Now, they can barter, as Andy said. How do you determine the value of a dollar? Now, you do numismatic, or are you just dealing with bulk silver?
Yeah, we were dealing with coin silver. In fact, the three transactions that I made involved... 5 gallon cans of gas, a full 5 gallon can of gas for $3 face value of 90% coin, which, I paid too much for the gas. But that was another thing that I had a problem with. Those fortunate souls and enterprising gas station people who, went and got a generator, hooked it up to their pumps and were ready to sell gas. If I would have been those guys, it would have been, you know, $6 a gallon, $8 a gallon, right? But no, you know, you had the Consumer Affairs Department telling them, oh, no, you can't charge more than you were charging before the storm, which a great many station owners said, all right, then I'll just shut my pumps off and wait and see what, because I'd rather this gas in the ground than that, you know, paper. and that's exactly what happened.
Gouging, price gouging, people taking advantage of other people. I guess that was pretty common, too.
Indeed.
What a horrible state of affairs for this society to fall apart and dive to the bottom of the barrel that quickly.
No.
It used to be said that...
city on earth.
What's that?
in the greatest city on earth.
Yeah.
That's their rallying cry, New York City, right? The greatest city on earth.
I've got a couple more questions on this. Fascinating to hear it from somebody who knows how to analyze what he has just been through and bring it to us. And we'll be right back with Andy Goss in just a couple minutes. USGoldCoins.com is the name of his company, and we will continue. Okay, let's get right back to Andy Goss. Now, the idea of mocking preppers probably will, at least in the Northeast, not be quite so fanciful a one for cocktail conversations among the elite and those who think that they're pretty cool. This is
That's
a real
right.
deal. Did you have to eat any stored food?
Oh, not at all. No, we dined. We were the most civilized place. In fact, there was in our parking lot, eventually the police would know, you know, where to stop when the patrols started again, because we had everything. Again, part of being prepared. And it's one of the things that I said to my neighbors who were standing there going, you know, when is the phone company coming? When is the electric company coming? I said, nobody's coming to help you. If you're not prepared to take care of yourself right now, then no one is coming to help you.
And they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue.
No, they were waiting for their emergency water. You know, every single facility provided by the public. So because the power went out, the sewage treatment plants went out, the water couldn't be delivered, there were the gas stations closed. And in this just-in-time economy, everyone had nothing. So they were stuck with what they had in their homes. If they could find a candle, they lit it, and several houses burned because of that. You know, if they could find blankets to keep warm, then that's what they were forced to use, a fireplace log or what have you, and that was really the method. But people are so reliant upon service and government. The 911 lines were overloaded, of course. Mm-hmm. The people with power go out, they call 911. Like, what do you think they're going to do?
Well,
the police officers and the firefighters and all those other folks, they have families. They were without power. Where do you think they were? They were taking care of their own things.
Okay, so this
is what every responsible person should do.
This validates what we've been saying for years. In a major crisis, many law enforcement and fire agency people will go home with their families.
Sure.
That's just what we've been telling people.
Yeah,
and here's proof in the pudding, right there.
Yep. Yeah. And in fact, many of the public agencies said, well, if you didn't call in, if you just didn't show up for your shift, and even if you did show up for your shift and there's no gas for your vehicle, you're not going anywhere or doing anything anyway. But if you didn't call in for your shift, you're not going to get paid. You're going to be treated as, skipping a day. That's, of course, in the wake of things. But again, the behavior during the crisis is what we should be concerned with. Yeah, yell at them after, don't pay them after, but what do you expect? You know what it reminds me of, Jeff? The FDIC. Everyone assumes, oh, the FDIC has insurance, so you're covered up to $250,000. Well, yeah, if one bank goes bad, but if all the banks go bad, you're done. And this is essentially what happened here.
Right.
Everything went bad at the same time, and there was nowhere near enough presence for everything to be covered. So entire neighborhoods burned to the ground because they couldn't get fire trucks in. The trees fell on houses. Dead people stayed in their homes for days.
Yeah.
Nobody came and got them.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing like you see in the movies. It's entirely different.
Now, not to depreciate what happened there in any way, shape, or form, but let's be serious. If Sandy had been a Category 2 or Category 3 hurricane, we're talking about orders of magnitude more damage, more death, more chaos, more suffering.
I have about a 15-mile line of sight to the new Freedom Tower, so I can actually see it. And so I live on that first set of hills as you look outside of New York City. Everything below me, Hoboken, all the shore areas, everything that was at sea level, I'm at like 700 feet.
Uh-huh.
Everything down there was black, cold, and wet.
Wow.
The water came in, and there was just nothing. There was miles of nothing. But had it been worse, as you say, I witnessed 70-mile-an-hour winds on the top of our little hill. Yeah, it took down a few structures, lost a few shingles, but, you know, very minimal damage. 100 miles an hour, 110, another 2 feet of storm surge, and it would have easily doubled the damage, and that damage was pretty bad to begin with.
Oyster Creek was within, I am told, 6 inches, half a foot, of losing its power to its spent fuel pools.
And you can only imagine. I don't even want to go there because...
Well, that's the end of the Northeast. That's Fukushima all over, and it could have been worse.
Well, exactly. And it was that close. And, of course, we're hearing in the aftermath how close we were to various things. But there, the raw sewage, Jeff, I don't want to be graphic here, but, you know, once the sewage plants overflowed, then there was absolutely no water treatment at all. And... they were just dumping it. It was just dumping into the ocean, into the bays, into the rivers that surround the region. That's not a pretty picture. And then now to have that is what washed into people's homes, combined with the oil from the refineries that were shut down.
Oh, even worse. So this was not pleasant seawater. Okay, I get it.
No.
Wow.
In fact, the little nor'easter almost seems like a blessing because at least we had a little clean water to wash off some of the residues still on the roads and sidewalks and things.
This is remarkable. I didn't hear anything at all relating to what you've just reported. Nothing.
Well, the reporters, you know, had a tendency to go to the areas where there's no one left. You know, everyone's evacuated.
Oh, yeah, they want the most graphic scenes to work with. Sure.
But in the pockets where they, you know, the houses were still intact, people were still in them, you simply had no power, no gas, no batteries, no banks, no cash. You're just living like that. And they didn't cover that at all. That didn't deserve coverage. But the dramatic washed out, you know, gone, burned down neighborhoods, yeah, we'll go and look at that. And it's all about what people are giving, what they're giving, and not so much the self-sufficient in the crowd that didn't ask for anything.
Now, I gather from what you said, you were actually trying to take care of people with some of your stash, your food.
Oh, goodness, yeah. We gave away the majority of what we had. I recognized that this was a temporary event.
Yeah, you can restock, sir.
So we cracked open the emergency stores,
Well, you deserve to be the subject of a real TV news story for one of those stations. I'm not joking.
Yeah, my little band of merry men. I don't want to take credit by myself, but we did a rescue mission in New York.
As it should be. Well, when we come back, I want to talk about the looting aspect of it and how critical it is for people to have defensive firearms to protect their family, their loved ones, their children, their businesses. This is crucial. I did see some pictures. One guy actually had a bow and arrow set up. So hold on. We'll be right back with Andy Goss. This is the truth for all of us on the outside of what happened on the inside. All right? You couldn't get a good picture of it, the taste of it, the feel of it from the TV news folks. They just didn't grasp it. We're hearing the truth now, and much indebted to Andy for that. We'll come right back. Stay tuned. Okay, back with Andy. I have spent years telling people when you dial 911, the emergency services people, be it fire, paramedics, or police, are under no legal obligation to respond when they can. Right. And when something like this happens and they can't, forget about it. You're on your own.
Yeah, this is the point, really. Because, again, it's just like the FDIC, 911. If you're the person who has an accident by yourself, you call 911, you might get service. But if 50 million people live within 100 miles of Philadelphia, so in the New York region alone, we probably had 12 to 15 million affected directly. No way. It's just no way that the 911 operators can get to everyone. And especially when you have people using 911 like we used to use 411, you know, can you tell me where there's an open gas station?
Right.
And this sort of overwhelming demand just met with phones being hung up and not even being answered. And so, as I said, neighborhoods burned and people died and there was just nobody there because that's not how the system is intended to work. You better be prepared to take care of yourself. And when I said before the break, my band of merry men, I know my neighbors.
Yeah.
And I know where the elderly are, and, you know, we had a few on our list, and we checked on them, made sure everybody was okay.
Wow.
We delivered a generator to one who wasn't, and delivered gas to another who wasn't, and so on and so forth. That's what you have to do. You have to build a network before. And the other thing, you know, all my neighbors used to, well, all my friends really, give me a hard time about not shopping in the big box stores. I always shop in the mom and pop stores, and I developed relationships with shopkeepers.
Yeah.
Boy, did that come in handy. Let me tell you, especially as it relates to D batteries, D cell batteries. None of the box stores had them. Gas cans, couldn't get them. And regulation, I want to choke the guy who invented the safety spout on the 5-gallon gas can. That is a government requirement. And that the gas stations wouldn't fill up unless you had a regulation gas can of the right color with the appropriate safety valve.
Oh, yeah.
This was the most frustrating experiment I've ever seen. And for those who are so completely unaware that they're strolling up with their blue kerosene can or their, you know, gallon jug, milk jugs, expecting they're going to walk home with milk, with gas, forget it. You know, you wait in line and then you get thrown off the line. Mm-hmm. Even one young lady was walking towards a gas line and was approached by an off-duty police officer who said, "You going on that gas line with that gas can?" "Yeah." "Do you have a weapon?" "No." "Go home and get a weapon and then come back and get on the gas line."
Wow.
So that's the mentality, the herd mentality, and you would expect, well, we're all in this together, let's all be civil. No.
Doesn't work that way. Nope.
Oh, no. No. Every man for himself and, you know, the rest be damned.
Looting.
We didn't talk about that, Jeff. What we talked about was neighbors helping neighbors and people getting together and, you know, feel good and be friendly. But there was a lot of the other going on, depending on which part of the city you lived in and which part of the region that you lived in. Looting.
It doesn't take long. It takes an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, six hours, and people start taking advantage.
Opportunity.
Did you see many firearms being carried by the citizenry, Second Amendment?
Well, no, but, you know, I'm in New Jersey here. We think the right to bear arms means you could wear a short-sleeved shirt. That's it. So, the guy armed with a bow, you get pulled out of a car and you have a knife on you in New Jersey, you're probably going to jail. They do not want an armed citizenry because the oppression is so bad here that, you know, people will just lose their minds and shoot somebody. That's just the way it is. So, unfortunately, for the purposes that you need a gun, I suppose a licensed, registered firearm would not be a correct thing to have. So those that had weapons, I assure you, had them at ready. And even in the best neighborhoods. Because unfortunately, this is what happens. In the worst neighborhoods, there's nothing to steal there. So just 5 miles away is, you know, a nice Tony neighborhood. We know that all of the lights are out there too. So let's just take a ride. And that's what we were faced with. So it was a precarious 48 hours, that's for certain, before things got back to semi-normal. And, you know, then another snowstorm on top of the sand, like insult to injury, but everything's fine in my particular part of the world anyway.
Well, okay. There were some deaths, but obviously in different areas.
Well, there are two right here in my town, in this little town, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where they died from? Okay, so here's another one of the conspiracy nuts, right? Remember we talk about the World Heritage Sites and how they've taken control of all the... Well, the trees in New Jersey on your property don't necessarily belong to you. So you're not allowed to cut them.
Yeah.
You can't cut them.
You can't prune them.
You've got a branch hanging over a power line.
Right.
Or you have a tree growing under a power line, a sensible person comes, gets a chainsaw, and just cuts it down. In New Jersey, you don't do that. It's not your tree.
That's nuts.
So if they think the tree's a problem, they'll take it down. And furthermore, they plant them right under the power lines. I've been taking my picture is
very
my
smart.
Collection because I don't think they have the right to come on my property and plant a tree. They think they do. And I'm going to fight. This is my new fight because now I've got some ammo. I'm taking pictures of all these shade trees are what they're called, shade tree commissions. You know, officials, appointed officials, decide where trees need to be planted. You don't decide that. They decide.
How bizarre.
And then they come and plant the trees. Yeah. And then the trees grow up and they fall over on your house. Or they fall on a power line.
And they kill people.
Power to the neighbor. Yeah, and that's the majority of the damage here in Northwest Bergen County was not from the wind, not from the water, but from the trees falling on people's houses, mm-hmm. falling across power lines, blocking roads. We are the tree hugger central here. You can't chop a tree down. Oh, can't leave, you know, can't have a permit, and it can't be over a certain size, and so on and so forth.
That's
you have trees
crazy.
Growing into your power lines. You can't just climb up there, get a chainsaw, and cut them. Oh, no, got to call the Shade Tree Commission, and they have to have meetings and decide. It's an absolute regulatory
sick.
Nightmare.
Yeah, sick. Well, it's as bad as taxing people for rainwater, which they do now. In Colorado and I think one or two other states. And I suggest this whole carbon tax crap, I think they're going to start
sure.
taxing people individually every year because they emit carbon dioxide. I think they're
sure.
going to tax them on the amount of oxygen they use. This is a look, this is a UN possibility, folks. There are no holds barred now. They're coming after us. And don't be surprised if you end up looking in the newspaper or seeing on the internet a new law that will tax you for the air you breathe. I'm not kidding. It's crazy. Let's go through the break here. I want to keep going with Andy on this because we haven't talked about business or anything, but usgoldcoins.com, of course, is Andy's business, and we've been talking for years and years about this. In times like these, Andy has now firsthand, absolutely, it's anecdotal, but he was there, firsthand experience of using bulk silver coins to survive. People had no trouble taking them, right?
That's right. Yep.
How did you come up? Go ahead.
Well, these were people that I already knew. And
how did you come up with a valuation, though? How did you show them what the valuation for this was? I know you spent more than you had to.
I know. I mean, it is known.
Oh, okay.
Everybody knows. If you crack open a red book, it'll tell you the precise silver content of every U.S. coin. And so there's a multiple. Now, to those who were around from 77 to 80 when that rush of craziness was going through, you know, every little store was buying silver coins, right? And they'd say, okay, paying 30 to 1 or 40 to 1 or 20 to 1 and so forth. And that's how people generally conducted business. So this is what we knew. These merchants that I dealt with, they knew. They're already facing the problem of selling their inventory, getting paid with paper money, and store the paper, by the time they go to replace the inventory, it costs more. So they already know this. They're already faced with this. They probably already had gold and silver coins of their own. So my suggestion that, hey, would you rather have this cash? Well, you can have this cash, obviously, because that's what there were no credit card terminals and electronic money. This was one of the major problems here. They didn't talk too much about that on the news either.
No.
But it was cash only. Cash only everywhere you went. Cash only.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to really make a deal for something and skip a line or get something that couldn't be gotten, then you better have something to sweeten the pot. And I found that silver coins just work fine for that sort of thing.
All right. When the police began showing up, what was their posture? What were they trying to do? Run around putting out fires, rescue people? Were they just trying to put out, they say, as a presence on the streets to let people see them, or all of the above?
Yeah, they were trying to stabilize their network, right? What they do. If you can imagine, you know, you want to just show up at work, get in your patrol car, patrol, pull people over, write them a speeding ticket, you know, that sort of thing. Wait till you go on a call. That was not the case at all, and this is what they wanted more than anything else, was just to get back to that. In fact, one police officer I spoke to said, if you would have told me 20 years ago when I was in the police academy that I was going to be guarding a Hess station in the middle of the night and telling people they can't cut a line, I would have said you're crazy. But that was his duty, guarding the gas stations, guarding borough facilities, guarding their own stuff. That's what they were doing. They weren't worrying about what the rest of us were doing, that's for sure.
I guess the only thing that really prevented this from completely spiraling out of control was the fact that there was communication from the state government and people knew help was on the way.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. Well, Chris Christie, our governor, in cooperation with the president, made a point of telling everyone in New Jersey that, you know, the federal government is here to help, and boy, we'll be on the ground. They were New York City Mayor, Governor Cuomo in New York, mm-hmm. was giving away gas, mm-hmm. giving it away. You know, you could get up to 10 gallons of gas free from the government gas ferry. And you should really do a story on that, because that was the biggest fiasco you could ever imagine.
I heard.
Yeah. Now, Christie, of course, had better sense and made the gas available for sale, but I would sure like to see an accounting of where that went, because a lot of people made a lot of money selling bootleg gas here in New Jersey, I assure you that.
Yeah, he also used the opportunity to do a major pitch for reelecting the putative president.
Well, it's, you know, hard to run for president if you have a Republican already sitting in the seat in mm-hmm. 2016.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Mitt Romney would have won, then Chris Christie would have to wait really till 2020.
Now, he better lose about 200 pounds or he's not going to be around. He's huge.
Well, he does have a healthy size to him, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Corpulent governor.
Okay, what did people seem to miss the most? Did you hear a theme
cash.
Out there? Cash.
Cash, yeah.
Cash.
Cash
I
first.
Don't have enough cash.
Well, we're a cashless society, right?
And, of course.
And you think of the timing of this thing. So 96% of everything is done mm-hmm. electronically. The kids especially use their debit cards for everything and their credit card. So then the ATM machines ran out of cash. And that is really
Well, that probably took a half an hour and it was gone. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't very long. And then
But there's no power, so how do they use the ATM machines?
Well,
that too.
The ones that were, in other words, what was happening was the power outages were concentrated in the area where the trees and the wind and the water was. If you, like we drove the first night 40 miles north where there was power, there was gas, there were no gas lines, and we filled up, we made our first fill up with our emergency gas stores. So used up everything we had in reserve, went and filled up, came back, and so by the time the word got out that, you know, this was the thing to do, instead of sitting on a gas line for 4 hours, just head straight north or head straight west
uh-huh.
and get out of this stream of the storm. And so then what happened is people went into these areas and cleaned out every ATM and gas station in sight.
Mm-hmm.
Now then these areas with power, with mm-hmm. everything started mm-hmm. to experience trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing to go was the cash, because those, again, the gas stations that were, resourceful enough to whip out a generator and start up the, a pump, you know, rig a wire to run a pump, didn't have credit card, didn't have phones, had the inability. So it was, you know, handwritten signs, cash only.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, proved the greatest difficulty for most people. Same with the independent food stores that opened. Mom and pops, even the bigger chains, brought in trailer-mounted generators, but still they had no phone, no ability to take credit cards. This was a huge problem. And it cleaned out the cash machines, and then people had no cash, and then now they're just waiting until the cash comes back. That's about their only choice.
There was one story, in fact, I had it on the program here, 17,000 electrical repair utility crews left Illinois alone and headed east before the storm. And they were anticipating that. Did you find the level of people able and available to try to restore services was adequate? They had a lot
yeah,
of people
let
come
me tell
in.
You. Those guys, the power guys, the guys that, the linemen, I guess they call them,
mm-hmm.
you know, the ones that are out there in the field hooking things up, man, they were remarkable. And when the winds were blowing the second and third day, because we had continued gust of wind, they were out there still in their buckets. You know,
and they're cherry pickers up there. Wow.
Yeah, and risking their lives to put people's electric back on. If there's anyone that's a hero in all this, it mm-hmm. is those public service power workers that came, both the ones that were here and the ones that came from out of state, because the conditions they faced were daunting at the least
yeah.
and dangerous, no question about it. So they deserve the mm-hmm. lion's share of the thanks, not mm-hmm. the damn public workers who worried about themselves before the public.
I took a couple of shots early on at the news media, because they love disasters. They love to get out there with their equipment and do things. And after listening to you this hour, I'm not going to retract that, because they obviously missed the story. Your story is the story. Looking at downed trees is not the story. Looking at closed markets is not the story. This is a people story. And I didn't see any that got hold of it and did it. I don't know. All right, so where are we today? How much is restored? How much needs to be still cleaned up back there? Are we still seeing...
Still got hundreds of thousands of people without power. Mm-hmm. Areas of down by the water that we're still not allowed to go into.
Uh-huh.
Two new channels cut into one barrier island, two-thirds uh-huh. of a mile long. So that means everybody's real estate that was where the river now, or the bay now is...
Gone.
I don't know what they're going to do. So yeah, it's not back to normal by any means. And anybody who's ever been to the New Jersey shore, cherish those memories, because it's gone. It really is gone. It'll never be the same again.
Wow. Well,
and they had built right up to the, because we haven't had a hurricane here in 80, 90 years,
uh-huh.
they figured they were immune. And unfortunately, a direct hit on Atlantic City, that was not pretty. Although the casinos are open, they were one of the first things open again.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. All right.
So,
Wow.
Did you notice the liar in chief is now, the job he inherited, the mess he inherited from his predecessor is certainly mm-hmm. legendary.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're up against our debt ceiling in 12 days.
Yeah.
We have a $600 billion tax increase coming January 1st, only 20 legislative days to fix it. And we have spending cuts that are going to throw us into a new recession by January 1st.
123,000 Lockheed Martin employees have been sacked.
Yeah.
Boeing announced today 30%, one-third, for all intents and purposes, one-third of the Boeing workforce gone. These were withheld from before the election.
Yep. Sequestration is the word.
That's right.
So because they know that the legislation in effect says they must cut defense spending, and it's, believe it or not, 30% of GDP is government spending, and this non-discretionary spending, they call it, is a fraction. I mean, after you pay the $400 billion or so, $500 billion in interest, you pay the entitlement money back that you stole, now you've got a $250,000 budget, or $250 billion budget deficit. You haven't even spent any money on defense yet, or school lunch, or whatever else you want to do. This is a mess, and the only way to deal with it is to raise the debt ceiling, have the Federal Reserve create more money, loan that money to the government
so they can
pay their bills.
Of course.
That's it.
Yeah, further control, more domination, mm-hmm. more subjugation.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same story. They just love these opportunities to ratchet down their control, and they do.
Right.
Okay. The idea of Barack Hussein Obama in four more years conjures up a number of issues which you and I are certainly well familiar with, and our audiences too. This man is now has nothing to lose. He's going to roll out his real program, folks. We're about to see the real agenda, and it's not going to be pretty. And for all of the Americans, 90 million people voted, half voted for one, half voted for the other. It was a split. Almost that many people, 90 million, didn't vote who were eligible.
Right.
Now, the election obviously was carried by the black vote and the Latino vote. That was the big difference. That carried it. Somebody made an argument that there may not ever be another Republican president elected because of the changing demographics through illegal immigration, which is all intentional, of course, in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the
Whig Party. We're going the way of the Whigs.
Yeah, that's true.
W-H-I-G.
Yeah.
And it is because, for the same, very, very same reason, marginalization of others. I was closely connected to the Ron Paul campaign, and I know that because Mitt Romney snubbed Ron Paul at the convention, because they were afraid that a popular vote would somehow sweep Ron Paul at the convention, they kept him out. They silenced his supporters, who by and large said, okay, then we'll stay home. We won't vote.
That's
what they did.
Yeah.
And that's what they did.
Yeah. Stupid.
So, if you can't build coalitions of people, you're going to get that.
they do in every parliamentary form of government. It's constant coalitions.
Sure.
And make deals.
Something that the president mastered. You know, he built his coalitions of every little disparate group. You know, we're here for you. You're the masses. It's us against them. And the free enterprise system in America is the one that suffered here. Because the idea, as I've held for often, that if you form two lines, hey, Americans, you get on one line, you get nothing from the government, you pay nothing to the government, you're on your own. You get on the other line, you give up 30-35% of your money, you get free cheese, you get houses, you get college scholarships, you get, you know, grants and food stamps, and if you die, we'll take care of your kids, and we'll bury you, and so on and so forth. Those, I think those lines would be divided just about the way the vote was today. You know, half the people would willingly give up their freedom and liberty for a little security. That's all they want. They deserve neither. Who was that? Frederick Douglass, I think.
Yep, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
The idea that the Republicans would not cut a deal, would not wisely give Ron Paul, throw him a bone. What do? They abused the man, they degraded him, they disgraced him, they flushed him down the toilet and pretended like he didn't exist. How stupid.
And he was right. And the people that, the energization that he brought to the party, if you will, man, those young guys and, you know, idealistic.
Yeah.
Ready to go, charge, really energized, fired up.
Could have been the last chance of the Republican conservatives to do something intelligent, and they grotesquely blew it.
Yep. Maybe on purpose?
I don't know. It's a weird scene out there, Andy. Andy is open for business, of course. USGoldCoins.com. Please give the phone numbers
out,
Andy.
Sell me your gold coins. Absolutely. Yeah. Sell me some gold. Buy some gold. Stimulate the economy. 800-468-2646. 800-468-2646.
Thank you. That was a really amazing, gripping report of what happened there. I appreciate it. And I'm glad you're okay, Andy. Thanks.
Thanks. I have posted some of it on my Facebook page, so if anybody wants to check it out.
Very good. All right. Talk to you next month. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Andy Goss, usgoldcoins.com. And you can call over there and tell those people, that Andy and his crew, that you appreciate them. This was a wonderful story. There were others, but what Andy and his people did was what really we can all be. Unfortunately, many aren't. All right. We'll be right back with Hour 2.